You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back to the Challenge Double Agents or Hap podcast for episode 7. I am Brian Cohn, and here with me this week, I have a very special guest. It's Alan. Alan, how are you?
I'm good. It's actually been cloudy in California, and for a quarantine, that's perfect because when it's sunny outside, you want to go outside all the time. This quarantine coldness is great.
Yeah, we got the cold, the snow up in the Northeast, snowstorm coming. So all the more reason to bunker down, giving you every reason to. So it's great to have you here. I'm sure there might be some people who might not be familiar with who you are. I came in contact with you, I think, a couple seasons ago with your challenge content on Twitter. So for people who may not know you, can you give a little bit of backstory into your challenge coverage, what type of stuff you've been doing for the show?
Yeah, I've actually been covering it for like 4 years now. Yeah, I was at first a big reality fan. I would listen to rap all the time. And one day, I was actually getting like fired from a job. And I knew I was getting fired like a couple months early. So I just started blogging about reality TV because I was like, I know I'm going to get fired. I need something I want to do where people will listen to my writing. I'm passionate about this show. People started reading, and then more and more people started reading. MTV reached out to me with stuff. And since then, I've just been blogging about the show.
Yeah, your stuff's great. One thing, you post like in the moment screenshots and captions. So you get screeners ahead of time? Is that how you have these like photos like ready to go? When I try pausing my TV, if I do it once, I'm like 5 minutes behind in the show. So I don't know how you have these like perfectly timed screenshots and captions ready to go.
Yeah, I do get screeners. It's been a relationship with me and MTV. I think it started around Chance versus Stars 2 or something like that. My articles get a lot of traction via like the Google SEO stuff. So I think that's why it pops up for me. I'll be honest. I actually don't watch the shows live. I just wait for other people's tweets because I don't have cable. Like, I don't have cable. I don't have any way to watch it.
Right. So if all of Twitter just got together and started pranking you, you would start tweeting about stuff that hasn't happened yet in the episode. We could try to rally behind that and make that a movement.
I one time tweeted something like 8 minutes early. And the official MTV Challenge Twitter replied a GIF to me. And it was like, I felt like I was caught red-handed.
That's so funny. So, I mean, we'll obviously get the full plugs at the end. But just so if people want to quickly kind of get a sense of who you are, where can people read all your stuff? What's like site and everything? Where's like the first stuff if people want to quickly pause this and see what you've been up to? Where can they find you?
So on Twitter, at the Alan Aguirre, I'll have one of my most recent articles in my pinned. There'll be a link to my blog. I also recently started a YouTube page a month or two ago where I'm doing videos there, starting to pick up there as well, where I'm kind of redoing some of my old articles in video format. And now that they have more eyes in front of them, thealanaguirre.medium.com, you'll find a lot of stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I love your stuff. Like I said, you kind of came across my challenge Twitter feed a few seasons ago. So I've always wanted to have you on. I thought this was a great opportunity. Here we are, midway point through Double Agents. So what your kind of big picture thoughts on this season? How are you enjoying it? What do you make of this format, all the kind of the twists and turns? Where do you kind of stand so far through 7 episodes?
It feels like a B- season, and compared to like the past couple seasons, I'll take a B minus any day of the week because last couple seasons have felt like they were dragging. Whereas even though this partner twist seems not the most well thought out, it at least gives you intrigue every week. Like, oh, there's a new partnership every week. Oh, there's someone who's a rogue agent. There's little things like that that keep you interested, even if the cast itself isn't that great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, we kind of get to see different people kind of pop up and play main character. Obviously, we saw Big T a few weeks ago. The last 2 weeks now, Teresa has really become kind of front and center. And, you know, people may, we, I talked about this last week a lot, people may not even be familiar with who Teresa is if you're kind of a new fan to the show. And she's really kind of really making a name for herself. You kind of see some people come back to the show after their few season hiatus. And, you know, maybe now they're not as good physically. They don't, you know, have the social capital and they kind of just fade away and then you don't really hear from them again. But I mean, Teresa, it seems like, you know, she could take another three seasons off and come back and do what she's doing here. She's been really the focal point of a lot of the strategy the last couple of weeks. So the big thing from last week, what did you make of her kind of big power play to get Ashley and Cam in? Where did you fall on that side of the debate?
I thought it was a good move because at the end of the day, those other veterans don't have relationships with her. So they're not viewing her like a vet and she's not a rookie either. So she has to play big in some ways. I think Teresa is also like a challenge, like addict in that, like, she didn't do drugs like for like 10 years. She hasn't done it in like a long time. And now she's on this show and she wants to like embrace every single part of it while she's like away from the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you see her like in the coffee chat with CT. She's like, you know, evil genius, like thinking of different plots and plans. Like, so for some people, maybe and maybe we'll see this from Kara whenever she comes back. Someone sometimes time away from the show makes the heart grow fonder, both for the fans and for the individual. And, you know, when you get back into it, it could really reignite how you might view the show and the game. And Teresa, like you said, is really kind of taken over, and it's been great to see. I was always a big fan of Teresa, so. I'm loving to see her kind of come back and really take charge of the season.
I always love when the villainous veterans come back and people haven't seen them for so long that they forget, like, oh, wait, you're a bad guy, because they have like the immediate like they're cheering for them just because they're like the nostalgia. And then they do something bad and they're shocked.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, challenge people. They love getting the old shotgun, no matter what. Remember how many times people lie to people? Anytime it happens to them in one particular moment, it's like it's the grand sleep. You can't do it, not to me. And we get to see here Jay being confronted by Kyle and Corey. And Jay was kind of, you know, this is what we kind of thought this would kind of lead to. Teresa did the big move last week, but now that it's probably, we thought, be a guy's week this week, Jay was the one who's kind of going to be left out to dry. And this starts how we kind of start off the episode with Corey and Kyle confronting him and being like, you know, what the hell? You looked us straight in the face and said we weren't going in, and you kind of gambled on us. And, you know, luckily we didn't go home, but like, how are we supposed to trust you from here? And that was kind of the worry that we felt with Jay going in. Like, you know, by doing this move, he didn't really gain anything. No strong guy was eliminated, and now he's kind of left out to dry.
It very much felt like a Survivor move, where in Survivor, you know, you blindside someone and they're not there anymore. In the challenge, you try to blind someone and they both come back and they're looking at you.
Yep. Yep. And now they have like their girlfriend, their boyfriends are still there. All their like 10-year strong friendships are still there. There's, you know, you can't just, you cut one person off. There's many more people that follow, especially when you're going after Cam and Leroy, who have probably the biggest tentacles in this house right now.
It's just funny, though, because like if the challenge itself, people don't consider like what exists after the show. And, you know, you have Corey. He's like, man, I was going to give you a guest spot on Teen Mom. You were going to like hang out after this. And now it's like you're not invited to the baby shower. You're not invited to the cookout.
Yeah, he's going to miss everything. He's going to miss out on all the big baby adventures. I don't know how Jay's going to handle it. It's so devastating for him. I feel so bad. Oh man, but you gotta love Teresa, though, trying to stick up for Jay here. She pops in. We kind of see this throughout the whole episode. Teresa's trying to stick up for Jay, and you kind of, you know, they were one of the few partnerships that's been lasting through at this point in the show with all the different switch ups and stuff. So I did really enjoy Teresa showing a sense of loyalty to Jay, trying to like take the fall for it, being like, this was my move. Jay didn't relate to you. He was just going along with it for a girl's day. You know, this was all my move. You want to be mad, like basically be mad at me. So I did appreciate Teresa trying to stick up for her partner here.
I did too. I think partially they're kind of realizing what happens when you play the game as well, because she's never really been a political player. And now she's realizing, wait, when you make moves, you have to deal with the repercussions.
Yeah. And the repercussions were felt. And it's weird for, you know, for Teresa, she can make that move because with the way the format is, you know, she probably, in all likelihood, she knew she was going to be safe this week. And then, as she said, you know, one day in the challenge is like a lifetime. So by the time it comes around to the next girls' day, you know, there's going to be fights. There's going to be other people trying to make power plays. Depending on who wins the double agent for the week, that changes everything. So, you know, she's kind of right. If you make a big move, especially if you can skate by, you know, let alone one vote, now all of a sudden if she can skate by the next girls' day, then it's like 3 weeks by the time she's up for elimination again. So by then it's super old news. So that was probably the biggest point that she made that kind of swayed me into like thinking, yeah, you know, maybe that move was worth it, because all it takes is one other fight. And Teresa, and unfortunately not Jay anymore now, but for Teresa, she's now kind of the forgotten person. Like, she can kind of skate by until she wants to strike again.
It's kind of crazy how much this game evolves with this partner twist. Yeah, it's the skulls as well, where people are also trying to get their skulls. It allows people to coast more than ever.
Yeah, because maybe now next girls' day, you know, let's say Lolo wins power or something like that, and she wants to like get an easy shot at a skull. Like, they vote in a rookie, and now all of a sudden Teresa's gonna, you know, she's gonna be fine. She can get by there. So there's a lot of different kind of power plays and people's mindset that Teresa could kind of was able to use to her advantage, and she could kind of get through this. I think next week will obviously be the big test week, because that'll be the first girls' day with her. But she can get through that. I think she can really, you know, be here for the long haul, which you know, as one of the few strategic, or not one of the few, but one of the major strategic players, I really do hope so.
I never expected a Teresa comeback, so what we've gotten has just been awesome.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And this is where she has the coffee side chat with CT. She's starting up. She puts the feelers out there for Durrell as a possible target. And he was one that we talked about a few times that over the last couple weeks. That really, you know, even in the beginning when they were talking about getting out all the winners, no one really mentioned Durrell. He's been super quiet the whole season. Hasn't really been in. Obviously, we wouldn't expect him at this point in his life to be involved in the drama, but he hasn't won anything. So he's kind of been skating by. So when you hear his name pop up, you kind of get a little worried, like, oh, is this going to be like a visibility spike for Durrell and leading to his demise? So there was a little worry that this could be like the big Durrell episode and then he would go. So this was kind of the first hint of it, that Teresa and CT kind of had the first conversation that maybe Durrell could be a target here.
I love Durrell so much. I mean, even when they use him in these bit parts, he's still hilarious whenever you see him on camera. I don't know what it is. I just always want more of him in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. His confessional has been very funny. I've been waiting for him to win. Like, I'm glad like nothing happened to him this week. So that way maybe he can win power next week and we can really see where he stands. Cause you know, we got to see a little bit more of Amber, his partner, which was great, but we don't see where Durrell's true allegiances lie. And he's someone who easily could win the whole season. So I would love to get a sense of where he really stands amongst everyone in the house. Who do you think he would really be aligned with? Is there a clear sense of where Durrell falls in the power structure?
I know before the season, he said that Nelson and Corey were going to be his guys, and that was mostly because he's done a season with them versus like most of the other people on the cast. And it doesn't seem like him and CT are aligned. He's honestly kind of been carried by Amber's big brother allegiance, which is a bit crazy to say out loud. You're like, how is Durrell being carried by Amber? But he kind of is in some ways, just because the big brother people look after the big brother people inherently. And Durrell just doesn't have connections.
Yeah. And it's interesting, though, because anytime they mention, at least for like the show's perspective, they, you know, they mention the Big Brother Alliance, they really just focus on Fessy, Casey, and Josh. Like, it is weird that even, you know, on a, like the, for the production standpoint for MTV, they really, outside of, I think, the first week or two, they included Amber in that. I remember Casey had a conversation with her, but it's almost like the show is kind of forgetting that Amber is part of that Big Brother crew. I guess because she's not part of the new age Big Brother people, like, you know, she wasn't part of one of the more recent seasons like with them. But it is weird that the show doesn't emphasize that more, because that, I feel like that has to be playing a big part in what's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to get camera time when Fessy and Josh are spilling all over the place into every single mess this season, and Casey just having to vacuum after them, wondering why she picked these two guys to align with.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, Josh. We'll get to him. Unfortunately, again, we have to get to him. Oh, man. But so we were waiting a couple weeks to see. We thought maybe it happened off camera, but here we get to see Fessy and Corey have kind of a powwow sit down to kind of, talk through Fessy's decision to blindside him and Nelson and eventually take out Nelson to get his gold skull. What did you make of Fessy's kind of not excuse, but kind of reasoning for some of his behavior in the house, how he's a shy, self-conscious person? What did you make of Fessy trying to somewhat open up to Corey here?
I was checking my email during this time because it felt like Corey didn't care about it. It felt like MTV was just using that scene to segue into Devin saying he hates Big Brother for the 18th time. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't even give Corey's response. They just show Devin saying, yeah, I hate Big Brother.
That's that. If you have a Devin, like a pull string toy, that's one of the things that one of his big catchphrases. I hate Big Brother. I hate Big Brother. They suck. But yeah, Fessy's this was weird because, like, I mean, all this could be true about Fessy, that he's like a shy, self-conscious person. But like that has nothing to do with him blindsiding Nelson. Like, I think like all this was about was, you know, Corey probably wanted to understand like where they stood as like in a friendship, as an alliance. Like, I mean, sure, it's great for Fessy to open up about maybe his past or whatever he's gone through. But like that has nothing to do with what like happened and why Corey would be betrayed. Like if he came out like, oh, you're a shy person. Oh, you're self-conscious. Oh, I guess that makes sense why you would blindside what we consider a very close trio of an alliance. So that it just didn't like add up at all to like what this conversation should have been about. So that's where it left me the most confused.
It's weird because simultaneously, I'm the most invested in Fessy I've ever been throughout his like entire stint on reality television right now, from Big Brother to now. But he's just been so, I don't know, he's just not likable in any way. Just, I thought his move against Nelson was one of like the most grimy moves in challenge history, because it was just so unnecessary that early in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with people making dirty plays, like Bananas stealing the money, Ashley stealing the money. That's cool because it was high stakes.
Yeah.
Going after Nelson like that early, that's low stakes. That's like stealing $20 out of your mom's like purse.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for Fessy with, you know, like how Leroy did it here, going after Jay, who, you know, put him in a situation where he thought he could win, like it makes sense. But I mean, for Fessy, there were so many opportunities. Obviously, the first one he could have had early on, he could have taken advantage of and didn't do it. So to do it there, it was gross. I mean, it worked out. But like, again, here, like, it's just weird. Like, he doesn't like own up to like that part of the movie. He owns up to his personality. I don't know. Fessy's a weird dude. Like, if he really like embraced the supervillain aspect, like a West, like he could be so fun, but he just, as I've always said, he just doesn't have the personality anywhere close to some of these other people in the house. So it kind of, it brings him down, but at least, I mean, he's a good competitor. So he's got that going for him, but personality wise, it's just not there.
It's funny because if you told me that Devin and Fessy are the two males who are going to dominate screen time through the first seven episodes, and that I'm still going to like the season, I would have thought you're crazy.
Yeah, I've enjoyed Devin. I think he's actually been pretty fun. I've enjoyed him previously too, and I think, you know, one of the most amazing lines was when he was so honest to Josh, like being like, we'll get to their fight, but he was so honest being like, you know, I know I'm a layup, I know my placing, like I know what my role basically is on the show, is not to, you know, be a Fessy intimidating force, it's to stir up shit and get into fights and push buttons and stuff like that. So Devin having that self-awareness makes him even more likable because he knows exactly what he should be doing, and like he really maximizes everything that he has. He's even, I mean, he knocked out Wes and Banana separately. He's probably one of the only people to ever do that, so that's pretty incredible. So the fact that he can at least win some challenges and then also maximize his intrinsical personality or whatever, it's great. I like Devin's been great this season.
He's really hit or miss with me. At the beginning of the season, I was just not happy to see him because I feel like Devin is the person who makes the same joke every time. But now it's hit a point where he's made the same joke like 87 times and it's become funny again somehow.
Right, right. It's gone back around full circle. It becomes so not funny that it's funny. Oh, man. So we get the challenge this week. Aerial takedown. There's four heats, five people at a time. They're strung up on a big rope thing that's hanging over a helicopter, and they have to battle each other to knock each other off. What did you make of this challenge? Any big, obviously the guys not trying was like the big storyline, but any other major highlights? Did you like this challenge?
The camera work was really weird on it. It just visually wasn't, like with the close-ups were kind of hard to get. And then when the people actually fell off, it visually looked cool from afar, but it very much seemed like good in theory, bad in application.
Yeah, I think I agree. The coolest shots for me was whenever they really would like smash the rope into the water. You kind of see like, you know, the you know, the vibrate, like how the ricocheting of it, how hard it would be probably to hold on there. So that was cool. But I'm not a fan of challenges where you like there's no real clear sense of who's going to win. Like, yeah, you have the winners of the heat, but like again, like it's a 1 second difference. Like that, like a 1 second difference in some type of thing could be really cool. But here, it's like, okay, 1 second. I don't know. I mean, how could they have done it like any differently? Like, I just don't like things that don't have a clear winner. And then obviously the biggest takeaway here is the fact that none of the guys did literally anything. And that, I mean, that's crazy. The girls, like they step up here. I mean, maybe. I know I tweeted this during the episode, like the fact that they kind of running one of these things back about fighting off. They did one a few weeks ago, fighting off a truck and people got hurt. Maybe the guys were like, I don't want to get hurt. I'm not risking this. I've seen people, you know, countless people this season get hurt and they just didn't want to risk it. But that's pretty lame on their part, right?
Yeah. I mean, CT even said it. He's like, I'm a really big guy. I'm not meant to be like climbing. Like, I take one of those falls, it's going to hit me hard. At the same time, part of me thinks that all the heats were just thrown. Like, everyone was throwing it either in Casey Leroy's direction or in Teresa Jay's direction, because it's the two different sides of the house. And I didn't really think that when I was at first watching, but then when I went to write my recap, that idea kind of stuck in my head a lot more of why the guys didn't try at all.
That's interesting. So they were just focused on, like, we're not going to worry about it. Like, we'll see. Because really, it doesn't matter, like if there's not two different winners, right? It's just whoever did it the fastest time. So we'll just let the girls battle out. But it was interesting to see Nani actually put up a pretty decent fight for herself against Casey. She put up a good enough battle that at least it made it look interesting. So that I was at least a little bit impressed by, you know, as Nani puts it, where she really thrives in these challenges. But she really put up a fight here.
I love Nani. I think she's like the definition of like a B-minus competitor. She's the baseball hitter who's like, I don't know, 285. Never the best, but never the worst either.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why she thinks that, but this is not where she thrives. She normally thrives in other aspects of the game. But here she put up a decent fight. And then Teresa was obviously trying to push the notion that people would throw it to her. And that's where we see Amber kind of shoot that down and really put up a fight. And I guess that really was the difference. You know, she held on for an additional second, which let Casey pull out the win for Casey and Leroy. They become the new double agents. What did you make of Teresa's kind of plan here? She was the more outwardly of, you know, let's throw it to me. I guess it's worth the shot, but I don't know why everyone else would be on board with it. I'm glad for Amber that she kind of stood up to it, be like, no, I'm fighting.
I mean, I think the rookies went for it because if Teresa wins and they become the house vote, then at least Teresa will give them who they want. And, you know, if they don't win it, then Teresa's the target anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That is true. There was a obvious target there. And then maybe, I guess, if a rookie went and Teresa could have taken it on herself. But, I mean, Teresa's not, I mean, she's good, but she's not, you know, an automatic loss opponent. So they you know, he could have potentially been able to win against Teresa. Now, it wouldn't have been easy, but he could have at least taken a shot like that. It wouldn't, you know, you're not going up against Natalie or Jenny or something like that. So they could have pulled that one off. But, you know, so we see TJ in the aftermath. You know, people were a little not concerned, but they were a little bit surprised about TJ's reaction last week when Leo left the show. They're used to, you know, TJ really hitting quitters and everything. Well, he came back full force here and absolutely rips into the guys for their performance. And people who were worried that TJ lost his fastball, he brought it back out in a big way here, telling them that they suck. They flat out suck for not even giving it a go. And for quitters and not trying, for everything that TJ loves and dears, that's a quick way to get on his bad list.
Honestly, I didn't even mind the men doing that personally, because I'm not a big like against quitters type thing. Though I will say, I'm really proud of TJ this season. Usually his lines get edited in, like heavily in post. Hasn't really been a thing this season. He's hitting all his lines perfectly in live action.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the last couple seasons, there's been a lot of going back and editing, but I really haven't noticed any recently at all. So yeah, TJ, this might be TJ's best season, the way this is kind of, you know, he's showing more wokeness with the mental health issues. He's really going after people that don't try. He's, you know, he's fitting his lines in. This has been a great TJ season so far. It's his final. I'm curious to see what he does in his final. This has been great. TJ has been top notch season for him. So Casey and Leroy get the win. As we mentioned, beat Teresa by 1 second. And, you know, we get a little bit to the right before the club, a little bit of sense of Amber and Teresa's situation. Amber wins over Nani by saying anything bad about Teresa, which I love. I don't think that probably Amber and Nani maybe had one conversation the entire show. The second that Amber says something about someone that Nani doesn't like, we get the confessional of Nani be like, you know, I really grew up to love Amber. She's a really good person. That's all it took to take Nani's heart. Shitting on Teresa.
Hey man, I've been there too. If like there'll be challengers I rank on, then they'll retweet my articles like, yeah, you gotta read this kid, he's doing the good stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I agree with that guy.
Well, it takes a little bit of compliment and you're right in the heart. That's all it takes. So we get to the club, and once again it is kind of a bummer that they can't go out and stuff like that, because at least different locations and stuff would be nice, kind of getting a little lulled, you know, being in the same spot, like not even leaving, you know, the compound or the house, whatever it is. So the club scenes are definitely taking a little bit of hit, but at least we got to see a little bit more drunkenness this week between Fessy and Josh. But I guess first with Teresa and Amber. So Teresa, the word gets kind of run around the house that Teresa is coming for Darrell. The reason why people thought Teresa wanted them to throw the challenge was she could win, so she could take a shot at Amber and Darrell. And it's very confusing because it gets back to Teresa and she is so confused. Where did this come from? She's so upset. This is a lie, but I mean, she knows she said it. So the fight between Teresa and Amber, maybe you can help. Why was Teresa so upset when she knew exactly? Like, she said it. She didn't mean it fully. I think she probably did. Like, why do you think Teresa was so upset about this?
I just think Teresa herself, like, is a bit of an elitist and is kind of used to getting her way in life with, like, a lot of things. I love her. I think she's, like, great. But she does kind of give off that, like, you know, a bit of a pretentious vibe at times. And so she went at Amber, like, because she knows she's going into elimination because of what Amber chose to do. And that's not Amber's fault, but for Teresa, you either got to blame yourself or you got to blame Amber. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes have a hard problem blaming myself.
Right. It's a lot easier to blame someone else, for sure. But I loved how Amber kind of stood her ground here. You know, she didn't give up information. Teresa was peppering her, like, how did you hear from this? Who told you? Like, trying to get information out of her. And we see other people sometimes when the alcohol is flowing, like when Big T was in power, people were spewing information to her. But I guess it's kind of the Big Brother background. She knows when to keep her mouth shut and not share information. And I thought Amber did a great job here going against Teresa, where a lot of other people, they have folded, they would have, you know, shared information, thrown people under the bus. But this was very impressive for Amber. This was definitely her breakout episode and kind of scenario here where she stood her ground and really she showed what she's, you know, she won't back down to a challenge with Teresa, which is great.
I was impressed by Amber. I mean, finally, she's on the show. It took 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Good for her. And then I went to write my recap and I was like, I don't know what to say, because like all she did was like kind of say nothing. Like, and I'm impressed by that. But is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? I don't know.
Well, we see there's a lot of people who don't know how to say nothing. So I think, you know, sometimes the bar may be low, but sometimes all it takes is just surpass it by a little bit. And that's winning. And that's what Amber did. Because you see right here now with, you know, the way Devin gets under Josh's and Fessy's skin, which is kind of where the club scene goes here, where Devin really wants to start pushing buttons and he sees Fessy with some drinks in him. And obviously Josh could be dead sober and doesn't take much also. So he starts poking the bear. Bringing out, as we mentioned, the Big Brother sucks, doing all this stuff, trying to get people fired up. And, you know, Fessy and Josh, they learned from Amber, they just said nothing. They could have avoided all this, but they do not say not nothing. They say stuff and the arguments kind of break out. What did you make of Devin's approach here and everyone's reaction?
There was something so nonchalant and transparent about Devin poking at Fessy that was perfect to me. Like, he meant no harm, was just throwing out the weakest jabs ever. And Fessy is getting so angry by so little. He won that easy.
Yeah. I mean, he's so everyone knows he's transparent in the house. Like, everyone knows this is what Devin does. And he could go up to Fessy and be like, I'm going to try to get you riled up and so you can, like, start a fight here. And then he would do say, like, a little something. And Fessy would fall for it because Fessy and Josh, they're not the smartest people. They're, you know, they're very egotistical. They're want to you know, defend themselves, all this stuff. They just don't learn from the, like, their past mistakes, especially Josh. I mean, how many times does Josh have to get in a fight that's, again, not about him, but he, like, inserts himself in the stuff and it makes it about him. And then with, like, I guess the big, the climax scene was Josh shoving Devin. So did you, when that happened, did you expect Josh to be kicked out for that?
No, because I felt like, personally, I thought Devin also threw himself back a little bit just to, like, make it a little extra. Unfortunately, he went straight into a couch, so it didn't look like it did anything.
Right, right.
You know it's bad when you push someone and like, security doesn't even come out. They're like, nah, that didn't look like much. Like, throw a better push and then maybe we'll do something.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the show is, obviously, there's no real rules at all. I mean, as we'll see later on, but just in general of people getting kicked out for stuff, we've seen people throwing punches and not necessarily being kicked out. I think we saw, you know, people throwing food or forks at one time and they're being kicked out of stuff. So the line is definitely very blurred. So it's always a toss-up. I think, it depends on the situation, the person, the reaction. Was anyone hurt? How far into the season we are? Do they have backups planned? I think there's so many factors that go into MTV wanting to kick someone out. But the fact that they had a reason to get Josh off the show and they just didn't do it, it just would have been so perfect if he just left here and then, like, oh, he's Josh Fight. He's banned from life. He can't come back or whatever. But they had it right there. The people would have been rejoicing in the streets. They would have been so happy if Josh was gone. This was great.
No, you got to love CT telling Kyle. It's like after Kyle says, I want to punch his face in. And CT's like, look, we all want to do that. I couldn't believe he just said it out loud like that. Like, we all want to do it to him. He's a man child, but we're not allowed to.
Yep. And this, I mean, if there's any question about that CT, I mean, you know, flashback, you know, 10, 15 years, and CT's the one that people are trying to hold back. And now he's holding people back. So that's the circle of life that the challenge gives us, which is quite fun. Oh, man.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So the next day we get Devin apologizing to Gabby. And at first I was like, why? What does he care what Gabby thinks? I totally forgot that they were partners because they're just like so basically almost unimportant in terms of like the game aspect in some other parts they are. But I completely forgot that they were even partners. Like, well, what does Gabby have to do with it? What? Because Gabby's like with Fessy? Like, I don't know. What was that about? But I guess Devin, good for him to apologize to Gabby. I don't know. A good partnership, I guess. Other partners can kind of use from that. But Gabby's now worried that the target will shift to her. But, you know, all likelihood this was a guy's week, so I'm sure she really wasn't that worried. I'm sure she probably would have been quite fine if she ended up being thrown in and Devin being eliminated and she could have moved on to greener pastures.
I was impressed by Devin. I mean, like, he showed that he was a decent person by the fact that he apologized to Gabby because he's like, hey, you know what? I hate a lot of the people in this house, but you're just a nice person. He's like, I wouldn't be apologizing to Tori or any of my other partners, but you've done no harm to me in my life,
right?
So I'm sorry.
Yeah, again, the bar is very very on the floor, and I guess here he reached over the bar a little bit for showing a sense of humanity, which is good. And then another one, and then the morning after, Amber talks to Teresa again to kind of get a sense of, you know, what happened, like kind of rehash kind of what happened the night before, and wants to try to talk everything out. And this is where Teresa admits to telling Amber about talking to the CT about the plans about voting Darrell, but says it was just coffee banter. She whips out, you know, she has the receipt. She said, I don't remember but she was like, it was at this time. I was wearing these clothes. I was sitting on that seat. This is exactly what I said. I love Teresa really, like, you know, giving the detailed pictures about what happened. But I don't know if that helps her story, because she did say that she admitted to going after them. So I think that's really all that would matter in the situation. I don't think what she was having to drink really would play into the factor here.
It was simultaneously impressive and creepy, where it kind of gave off like a very serial killer vibe, where it's like she had it that detailed down.
Yeah, I don't know how she would specifically remember it, unless she was, the only way she would is if she really meant it. Like, if there was that, like, if it was really a nonsense comment, you'd be like, oh, I guess I said it. I don't really remember when. But if you were actually plotting this whole master plan to get people to throw a challenge so you could win, so you can go after Darrell, I feel like you would probably remember exactly when you said that to CT. So I think, you know, if anything, that probably adds a little bit more credence to how real Teresa's plan of attack was. And good for having plans of attack. A lot of people kind of sit by and let the game kind of pass them by, but Teresa, you know, as we kind of gone over, she's really taken the bull by the horns, and she, you know, she's at least trying, she's attempting to make moves, which is great to say.
The concept of her having a notebook and recording everything she does in the game, it reminds me of that one chick from one of the early Survivor seasons who was just writing everything in the notebook, and then they had that challenge at the end where you had to like say things about the game, and she had it all written down.
Yeah, she, you know, she came prepared. She took a few seasons off. She was like, I'm going to do my homework doing this. I'm not here to, you know, I got my husband, I got my kids. I'm not there to party and do stuff. So this is, I'm here to win. She's like, I think she even said, like, I don't need more friends. I'm here to win the game, which we love hearing that from people. I think that's what the challenge needs. You always need the mix. You don't want everyone in that mindset, because then it kind of gets too serious and boring, but you have the variety of people in the mix. Teresa falls on that side of the spectrum right now, and it's, I think it's perfect. It's great.
Agreed.
So we get to deliberation for the week, and deliberate, like, I think one of the biggest positive changes that they've made is they got rid of the stupid, like, the troika, whatever the three person, what they would call people in, and that's how they would vote. That was the worst thing the show's, I think, ever really done. It was such a waste of time. I think the way they're doing it now with, like, kind of the open deliberation, I think it's been almost like an A plus almost every week. I think there's always been at least a couple of highlights. And here, a couple of the ones I really enjoyed, like, again, Devin apologizing to everyone. Yeah, cool moment, good to see. But then Teresa once again jumping in to kind of defend Jay here, at least trying to defend Jay. Well, you know, it's again partners defending themselves. I think people, like, in this open forum really hashing out, like, who they want to throw in, and people giving reasons. We saw Ashley last week with a lot of good reasons why she should not be thrown in. So what were your kind of big takeaways from this week's deliberation?
I thought Teresa in some ways was kind of burying herself by just, like, talking too much. I think that's her, one of her ultimate faults on the show, is that she does a little bit too much every time. Whereas, like, her strategic mind is great, but her social game is bad. Like, that's a difference. That's, like, the key difference, right, for her.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. There's a key difference to, like, knowing the moves and wanting to plot out the moves, but then also kind of gracefully doing it. You know, I think, you know, we kind of saw that with Big T, right? Like, she had a plan of attack, but she didn't, like, it didn't blow back the way it's blowing back here. She, you know, Big T kind of did something very similar where she wanted to turn on people and get strong people in. But the next week, the house wasn't all against Big T, because there was a way she did it that was the right way to do it. That can really set yourself up for the future. And that's not what Jay and Teresa did here. And unfortunately here, Jay's like the one, you know, he even said it best. He's like, you know, I appreciate her defending me, but it's kind of making things worse, so I don't know if I want to tell her to keep going or stop talking, because it's, I don't know where he was kind of confused about where this was going to lead the house to vote.
I just wish Jay did more. I just wish he said more. I wish he played more proactively when it came to the political side, because I feel like a lot of people are going to blame Teresa when he's part of the partnership too, and if he doesn't want to go into elimination, he should also be, like, working his ass off socially and politically.
Yeah, 100%. No, I don't, like, Teresa didn't tell Jay, like, you have to lie to Kyle and Corey, like, so blatantly, like, in that spot. I think there was a way that Jay, you know, could have had this move happen, but also kind of set himself up that he wouldn't be the main target. Like, maybe Teresa would be, but they would know, all right, on a guy's, we'll go after Teresa on the next girl's day, but there's no reason to go after Jay on the next guy's day. Like, he didn't set himself up right, and that's on him. Like, Teresa got, you know, I think the way this is going to come down to is probably going to be more individual than pairs in the final. So you got to kind of set yourself up for yourself. So Jay has to kind of look out for himself. So, you know, Teresa did her. If it kind of blows back on her next week, then obviously it's on Teresa. But for this week, I put most of the blame for Jay's downfall on himself. He's got to, if he didn't think the plan was right or well executed, he's got to do it on himself, especially coming from Survivor. Like, where, you know, at a certain point, it is obviously that's individual too. So he's got to know when to stand up for himself, and maybe that'll come over time.
I also think with these deliberations, most of the time you have to have a plan going in versus trying to swing things at the deliberation. And that's what it felt like they were trying to do. Whereas I think last week they were able to get, you know, Ashley voted in, and they were able to do it with a, like, not even a majority vote. It was like 9 out of 20 people because they had a plan. They, like, if Teresa got with those rookie girls and they all agreed to put in someone strong or someone, I don't know, like a Fessy and a Nisa type pairing, then they could have, you know, they would have done it. They would have gotten what they wanted, but they didn't have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah, this season more than any other is really showing you do need a certain level of coordination, because, you know, that was a problem we saw with, like, kind of the vet side of the house last week. If they all kind of came together, you know, Ashley wouldn't have been the vote, as you mentioned. Like, that wasn't the majority of the votes. It was just people were burning votes. They were all kind of all over the place. So you need, especially with this many people still in, like, it's still, you know, 20 people or something like that in the game. So you need a big group of people all voting together with a certain target in mind. You know, for Teresa and Jay, they can't just be saying, like, don't vote for me, don't vote for me. Like, you needed a set target, and they kind of had it, but they kind of didn't. And that kind of set them up for failure here. So, Jay, we get to the vote. So the votes for Jay and Teresa, they were both Ambers, Devin, Gabby, Corey, Anissa, Darrell, Big T, CT, Michi, Cam, and Kyle ended up voting for Jay and Teresa to be voted in. And then once again, Leroy and Casey in the deliberation. Again, not really sharing much secrets amongst each other. The biggest thing was just Leroy kind of setting the stage for potentially going in himself. So going into the elimination, did you think Leroy was this his moment to jump in, or do you think he would, you know, try to pass the buck and wait a little bit longer?
I've always been of the mindset that it's better to wait, but I feel like Cam just got her school, and because of that, it kind of pushed Leroy a little bit more into wanting to get his school because she just got hers last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder how differently this would have been if this was flip-flop, right? Like, if Cam didn't have her skull, if this was last week, would Leroy have gone in? You know, I'm not sure. I kind of side with you, especially when there's a set number of skulls. Like, you can wait. There wasn't that, like, kind of scared uncertainty that there was last season, where theoretically at any moment it could be cut off and you can go home. So I think it doesn't hurt to wait. So I wasn't 100% sold on Leroy going, especially because of how well Jay kind of showcased himself last season with his couple elimination wins. You know, this season, he's been doing pretty well in some of the daily. So, you know, obviously a size difference, Leroy would have an edge, but Jay was not going to be any type of layup by any stretch of the imagination. So this wasn't, you know, a clear cut case of Leroy. You know, if he didn't go in, it would be like, what are you doing? You have to take it. So I was 50-50 on what Leroy was going to do. And apparently the backup option, Jay's best friend Nam, who obviously we all know are best friends from all their screen time together, having loads of conversations, apparently he was the backup option, which, I mean, again, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen, because if this is how Nam got eliminated with, like, no sense of his storyline, that would have been a big time bummer. But at least it's showing Nam is making some friends in the house, because we have no sense of what Nam is doing at all other than him and Lolo not playing well together. What do you make of Nam and Lolo as a team?
I just feel bad for Nam every week, because Lolo, she just seems like a mess to play with a game with. I mean, I couldn't be her partner. Every time something goes wrong, she just immediately blames you.
Yep. Yeah, and I would have thought Lolo would have done so much better, you know, coming in. It's not like she's never done these types of things before in their other stint, like the Pros Joes season. So it's weird that she and Nam, like, aren't doing well at all. Like, not only they're not winning, they're not really ever close to winning a daily. Like, they're not in any sense of power in any of alliances. So it's coming on a big time bust for Lolo and Nam, and that's just not how I expected their, you know, individually or as a pair to be. I really hope, you know, we got to get their kind of breakthrough moment coming up, because there's not been much from either of them.
I'm just hoping Nam gets a new partner soon, because I want that guy to have the world. Yeah. He seems like such a sweetheart. Yeah. I watched the video of him on the Ultimate Beastmaster, and he looked really impressive physically on that. I just want the world for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's coming down to, right? One of them, at some point, that team has to be voted into elimination, and we'll see if they win or not. But I think whoever wins, I think they just have to leave. They have to jump over to something new, get a fresh start with whoever it may be. I saw a lot of people. I had a discussion last week. A lot of people were suggesting that Nam should pair with Nani, especially because Nani's kind of connection, how well she worked with Turbo when on his rookie season. So I thought that was an interesting idea, and that could work. I could see them working well together, but they both need to find different partners. They pick things up because they're both so, you would think they're so talented at some of this. They're so athletic and strong. So I really hope they could find some greener pastures and start making a name for themselves. But we'll see. So we get to the elimination this week, Fire Escape. And this is where TJ, in maybe one of my favorite moments that this show has had in a long time, comes out and announces, because the guys didn't try at all, he is blocked. Their votes don't count. TJ drops like a big immunity idol on all the guys' votes. All the guys' votes from this week's vote didn't count. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm trying to remember like the votes. I'm like, is that going to swing things? Like, are Jay and Teresa safe? Like, is that even fair for Casey and Leroy that they didn't like have all day to kind of prepare for this? I was like, what is going on? And then, of course, even in more hysterical fashion, it doesn't do anything. Jay and Teresa are still voted in, but TJ just drops a bomb that like he could just, you know, if you don't try hard enough, your vote just doesn't count. And I think that should be a standard. They should just keep going, and TJ each week can pick, you know what, these four people, they didn't really give it their all. So now this week, those four people's votes don't count. I hope this continues. I was laughing for like an hour after the show, just thinking about TJ coming to tell them their votes don't count. Well, what did you make of that?
TJ, man, I don't know. It's been great because after like years of solid and consistent, like no jokes, TJ, we're getting this guy who's telling us, hey, we're going to have a guy's elimination. And then suddenly it becomes, it's not a guy's elimination, it's a girl's elimination. Guys' votes don't count. It's still the same vote. Man, it really is TJ's renaissance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's hysterical. But again, like the fact that it didn't even change anything, that Jay and Teresa were voted in for some reason. I don't know. That just, to me, makes it even funnier. So Jay and Teresa voted in, and TJ also gives a warning to the house about no more fighting. I don't know why. Like, I feel like, again, like if the warning is kind of implied when you're on the show, but I guess now you have a double warning from TJ, don't fight. I guess it's more saying if you know, no one else more important get into a fight so you don't get thrown out, but still wish Josh did. But I guess, all right, so we have a warning here. Do you think, will this come back into play? Do you think will TJ have to follow up on his warning and send someone out, or was this just kind of for show again?
I mean, I sure hope so. I mean, because we know that Josh Raffesi is going to be one of the two people involved if it does happen. So hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. So the elimination Fire Escape, very similar to almost, I think, probably identical, I think, to the first elimination of the season between Ashley and Natalie. But I guess he just said they added more obstacles and made it a little bit longer, for a little bit more challenging, I guess, for the guys. But and of course, they have to add fire because, you know, what's an elimination without fire on the challenge? But Leroy smokes it. I mean, Jay smokes it, too. Like, they both put together great performances. Apparently this was done in under a minute, which means they literally had to do slow motion and probably replay some scenes to make the elimination. Like, we watched it more than it took place, which I find hysterical. But what did you make of this elimination and Leroy's kind of dominant performance here?
Yeah, it was similar to the game he won on X's 2 against Bananas. And he saw it and was like, even though this would be a good elimination for Jay in theory, he just knows that's his game. And when Leroy is like engaged and he cares, he's like one of the scariest men in challenge history.
Yeah, I mean, you put him on land, he's one of the most dominant forces. We see this in eliminations time again. He really can show up and put it up with the best of a lot of people. You know, some seasons he had a little bit of bad luck. Other seasons, some things just didn't go his way. But there was no denying in like physical elimination in any form, Leroy is a force. And this, again, reminded people. I think I remember a few seasons back, I think he had a kind of a balls in challenge where he dominated or something like that also. And people kind of forget, because he hasn't won, Leroy is still one of the best guys out there. And every once in a while, he kind of reminds people, like, yeah, like, I could do this. And I'm sure, I mean, I love Jay, but I mean, I don't know who else. Were you rooting for Leroy with me? Because I was rooting for him like he was my favorite sports team. I want Leroy to win so bad. Were you rooting for Jay or Leroy here?
So when I first started watching the challenge, I watched a few Real Worlds first, and then I watched Rivals 1. And the only, because that was the first season on Hulu. And the only people I knew were Mike and Leroy on that season. So I was just I've been a Leroy fan since that day, because like, that's my guy. That was like my hometown guy. I'm always cheering for Leroy. He just seems like someone you want to be friends with.
Yeah, he does. And don't forget, Adam Roy are part of that season a long time. he's on Real Vegas now. But yeah, I think everyone rooting for Leroy. I love to see it. Love to see him win. It's all kind of set up now. Leroy and Cam both have skulls, both have good partners. It'll be interesting. So Leroy wins, and I love, so he turns, you know, he's asked, obviously, do you want to stay with Casey, or what do you do? And he, you know, as any smart guy would do, he looks to his partner, and Cam says, you're going to stay. And Leroy says, yes, I'm going to stay. And so that is the decision. What did you think that was the right call for Leroy? Obviously, I think I've always speculated, like, what were the conversations between Cam and Leroy about, do they want to pair up? Obviously, they've had the conversations. I guess, once again, they kind of indicate, like, not yet, not yet. Maybe like it's closer to the final, they will try to pair up. But here, Leroy decides to stick with Casey. What did you make of that decision?
I think it's just smarter to spread your team out for, like, especially because they have the house vote. So spreading your team as much as possible, spreading your influence, that's good. And then also, I agree, this might not be their last elimination. So they could always switch it later in the game, which I think is the smarter pick. I also just think Leroy and Casey make the perfect boring pair ever. And, like, not in a bad way, because, like, I love them both. I mean, I like them both, Leroy a lot more so, but there's just something so simple about the two of them where they just exist in the same plane of, like, don't put a target on us.
Yeah, it's that's what makes it so weird that they can't really get along. Like, I understand, you know, Big Brother, like, different alliances, but they do feel so similar in terms of, like, their gameplay. They're not really ones that, you know, stir up in the drama and stuff like that. They're kind of just there to compete and they want to win. So it is kind of interesting that they can't seem to really see eye to eye. Like, I feel like the fact that they've been together now for so long that, you know, I would have thought they would have started to blend some of the alliance together, but it still kind of hasn't worked out that way. Maybe as it gets closer, if they actually have to run the final together, we'll start to see that. But I agree. I think in terms of well-balanced and kind of highest upside teams, I think they're right at the top. If you know, if this kind of sticks as a pair, I think they're probably might be the favorite right now to kind of take this whole thing down. So good for Leroy, though.
If Casey switches and gives Leroy a bad partner, like, to end the game with, when she wins elimination in theory, she'll be dead to me. She'll be, like, just straight dead to me.
Don't put that in the universe. We can't have it. We can't have Leroy having to run the final with, like, Gabby or something like that. We can't have it. Don't say it. Can't do it. But TJ gives Jay a very nice send-off. Says he's positive we will see Jay again. What do you think? Do you think we will see Jay again?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else better to do. I mean, he's been a good addition to the show. I do think his elimination is his fault. I think he put up a good fight in the elimination itself as well. He's obviously a strong competitor, but his size will always kind of be his downfall. It's kind of like that Kahada thing where no matter how good you are, people still see that you're 160 pounds.
Yep. Yeah, no, and that's a very good comparison because they're both pretty likable guys. Usually, for the most part, don't get into a lot of fights and arguments, so they usually are pretty well-liked. Obviously, this kind of took a turn for Jay a little bit, but for the most part, he's usually well-liked. But yeah, I think I agree. I kind of hope, though, that with Jay's success now, obviously, they keep pulling over Big Brother people. I'm waiting them to pull over a few more Survivor people. I think there's a lot of kind of cool options to choose from, especially in some of the recent seasons. You know, we see the success here with Natalie as well. So I'm excited about the prospect of more Survivor people coming over, seeing the success from both Jay and Natalie on her short stint. So I think that could be kind of like the biggest thing that Jay does to the show is that, you know, he was the first one from that show to kind of come over. So hopefully more to follow. So that'll be interesting to see. So now we see Corey and Teresa kind of paired up. We'll see if the Corey curse continues. Teresa worried all of Corey's partners are going home. So do you think this will continue? Is Teresa just dead on arrival being Corey's partner heading into next week?
I don't know what's going on with Corey this season. He is, like, not in a bad position, but bad things keep happening to him. Like, Jay turns on him, Fessy turns on him, Nelson's gone. It's been not a good season for Corey, but he's competing well when he does compete. Theoretically, they should be the best team for a final because they came first and second in that mini final.
Right. You would think. I mean, Corey's right up there with a lot of the guys. I don't know, not really anyone I would really put that strongly ahead of him. So he's got a shot. But yeah, I don't know. There's something with Corey. There's something kind of similar to Leroy where something always kind of goes wrong with him. So maybe this season for him is one where he's able to get over the hump. Teresa as a partner could help. So It'll be interesting to see how well they work together, especially with a big bullseye on Teresa coming into next week. So, you know, we'll see if it's a straight up girls week or if the show tries to mix things up, maybe with the double or kind of going back to another another guy's day. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So before we have a few segments we do here before we kind of end it, but any full predictions for who you think could win the show? Where do you see the season headed?
So we kind of just like piggybacking a bit. I am just all around the last two seasons been shocked by how Corey has finally become the guy that they hyped up for years. Like, he's finally legit good now. Before, he was fake good, and now he's real good. Like, he has cardio again. He's good at the daily challenges a lot of the time. Still not great at the puzzles, but he's good at the social game. It's weird. Corey's having a little renaissance right now. Not even renaissance, but, like, an awakening. He's been great. At the same time, it'll all come down to who his partner is. And when it comes to the partners right now, I think it's going to be someone like a Cam who... I think she's set up pretty well, especially if Teresa is out by the final. I think Lolo's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. I'm not sure. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think from the, at least for the girls' side, we'll still see exactly how, you know, the final is going to be run. I think it's very unclear if it's going to be a pairs or individuals. My guess is it's going to be one of those where it's individual, but each round you're paired up with someone else. I feel like that's probably the most likely scenario this way goes. So for the girl side of it, I think Cam's most set up to win. I think she this kind of is kind of all building for her. You know, she's had a lot of confessional about how, you know, she's elimination queen, but it's time for her to get her title. I really think this is her chance to really get a title. And as much as my heart screams Leroy, I've always felt this is Festi's season to lose. I think he's the one who would get my pick. He was my day one pick. You know, obviously his target has kind of grown as the season's gone on, but I don't see anyone knocking him out outside of like a weird elimination. So I think for me, for the two, my two likely picks, they're not a team right now, but at least individual, I think Cam and Fessy would be right now my leaders in the pack for each side. But we'll see how it goes. Obviously, with all the switch ups and stuff, there's a lot more to be decided. So so we have a few segments that we like to do each week. One of them is our drinking game that we do. We pick different rules each week. So just to kind of rehash what they were for this past week, there were 18 hits this week from our game. There was one fancy graphic that was displayed on the different camera lens. There was one blurred body part. Some Devin was blurred out. I don't remember that, but I guess some of Devin was blurred out. Obviously, there was one time TJ offering his opinion, telling the guys they all suck. Someone acting out of revenge. Was when Kyle says he wanted revenge for Jay and Teresa. One of the rules is don't know what someone's doing in the daily elimination. He gave all for all the guys not even trying. So like all the guys like not trying. He was like, what's going on with there? Two times someone laying in bed. One time for a nickname, Kill a Cam, obviously. And one time for Nam melting your heart when he says he lost his BFF Jay. So RIP their friendship. So do you have any rule top of mind that you could think of that you would want to toss into our game?
Ooh, all right. Man, okay. Nelson's gone, but back when Nelson was on, just mispronouncing a word.
Oh, I think for anyone that could be... That could be perfect. I like that. I like that. I'll go sit with you. I think sometimes we don't really understand what some people are saying. So anytime there's people that are talking and they have to use subtitles to kind of exactly specify. Well, I'll add that for my rule this week. Anytime you see subtitles for a show, someone talking, take a drink on that. And then a few social media clips for this week from Megan Elizabeth, our social media correspondent. She sent over Cam, she wrote, he went in and conquered for us both, three hard eyes, # the challenge. And then Leroy posted a Instagram on a picture of him and Cam with the caption saying, "Last week, my partner in crime got her gold skull. Then tonight, I got mine. Couldn't ask for a better way to play this game to end my challenge career. Make sure you shop my limited edition mask. With this being my last season, I wanted to do something special for all my supporters. Link in bio." Now, obviously, there's a lot of talk about Leroy saying this last season, but he said this before the show even started, right? I remember in the preseason press, he said this. So, look, if this means Leroy eventually wins and that's why he reinforces the retiring, that's great. But I think he said this before the show started anyway. So I guess we'll see how that plays out. I don't think there's too much to read into that, but who knows? Maybe there is. Jay tweeted out, "Ha, made myself tear up. Ha, what a great game. I love the challenge. Hashtag thank you so much for another epic adventure. And so stoked to be able to live this life. Until next time, beautiful world." And I love the gif of Ham Porter giving a kiss goodbye. Very good choice. So that thank you, Meg Elizabeth, for the social media this week. And lastly, we have our can't lose draft. We have the latest results there. If I could just pull it up. All right, here we go. So Matt and the other Brian are now in the lead. They have 16 points. Me and Allie have 15 points, the points for this week. Amber and Lolo both did not have the confessionals. They got a point for that. Jay obviously lost the elimination, and Leroy won the elimination, so points awarded for those as well. So yeah, that's all our segments for this week. Alan, thank you once again for coming on. So I know you gave him the beginning, but just in case people want to go check you out again, where can people find you, all your challenge coverage, and everything that you have going on?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at the Alan Aguirre. You can follow, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel at Caffeine Caffeine Confessionals. Trying to do more Big Brother and Survivor coverage as well, even though it's their off seasons right now. But my main focus is always the challenge.
Great. Great. And you can subscribe to us, robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cone with a C, Brian _. We'll be back next week for episode 8. Alan, thank you once again. This was a lot of fun. Until then, have a good one.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.